Okay, welcome everybody to the special council meeting for August. As you know, the purpose of this meeting is to adopt the workforce development plan and corporate business plan and the 2019-20 budget. Before we begin, as always, I want to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, and to pay our respects to their elders past, present and future, and just to acknowledge their amazing stewardship of the town, the area that the town's held on, built on over the many years. Also want to remind people that tonight's meeting is live streamed for purposes of transparency and to enable our community to access the council meetings more easily. Item 2 is public question time, but we have no one here this evening, so we'll move on to item 3, which is attendance and apologies. So Councillor Bob Brown is unable to join us this evening. Are there any other apologies? No? Any applications for leave?
Yep.
Councillor Mikichuk?
Monday the 2nd of September to Sunday the 6th
Second?
Of October.
Yeah. 2nd of September?
Yep, to the 6th of October.
Have a mover to accept that, Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Quinton. All those in favour, and that is carried unanimously. So item 4 is other reports that we are considering this evening. So item 4.1 is the corporate business plan. So there is the 2019 minor review and the workforce plan for 2019. Are there questions from councillors on this item? No?
Okay. Sorry, let me find the right page. So we're doing a formal, more extensive review on this later in the financial year.
That's correct. So the idea is that shortly after the appointment of the new council in October, the idea is that we would revisit our strategic community plan.
Okay. I'm just... I don't think it's of huge importance, given that we are going to do a more formal thing. But on the last page, before we get to the workforce plan review, there's this graph. And I do note that there is significant, under operating income in some of the columns, there's significant increase. Sorry, it's just before the workforce plan review. It's the last page on the attachment. Sorry, it doesn't have a page number. Have you got it?
Just before the workforce plan review?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, not to change anything tonight, but if it could be possible to investigate the operating income, because I note that the figures between 2019-20 and 2020-21, there's significant increases there in the operating income, and I'm unsure as to why that would be, but some of these increases are in the millions. So if that could be investigated during the more detailed...
Only another comment is that in the map, the colours don't correlate with the coding on the map. So I know we brought this up earlier.
Yeah.
So hoping before this goes public that that can get fixed.
Yes, this will actually be sent to a graphic designer.
Great.
To put it up.
Okay, any other questions or concerns? Okay, so then we've got officer recommendation to endorse the draft corporate business plan and workforce plan review. Do we have a mover? Councillor Wilson, seconded. Councillor Quinton, anybody against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So item 4.2 is the adoption of the 2019-20 budget. I'm just going to ask our CEO and Director of Corporate Services to speak to a couple of the minor corrections that were made on this document.
Certainly. I'll start and then I'll pass to the Director of Corporate Services. There were some questions that were raised in the last 24 hours regarding some clarification in respect to the operational budget by our Mayor. One was in relation to the design for the pedestrian first zone on Old Perth Road. So, yes, it remains in the budget, but the idea was that that would be postponed until next financial year when we do a town centre plan. So $20,000 was currently allocated to the Old Perth Road pedestrian first zone. That will be realigned to the design for the Walter Road East and Lord Street design work. And if further funding is required for the Walter Road, Lord Street design work, that's something that can be picked up in the mid-year review process.
Yes. Thank you, Your Worship. If I could just ask a question in relation to the Walter Road design work, considering it's an expense that we'll be doing to undertake it. I know the town was having a meeting with the City of Swan, or City of Bayswater, I should say, City of Bayswater, with in relation to Walter Road.
No, it was Guildford Road, actually.
Guildford Road, was it, with the City of Bayswater? So we don't need to consult with Bayswater on Walter Road?
No, we didn't discuss Walter Road with them.
Okay, that's all right. So we don't need to discuss. So there's that doesn't affect the neighbouring council.
No, our discussions were primarily on Guildford Road in respect to Swan River right through to the Tonkin Highway overpass.
Yeah, but Lord Street, for example, we have to engage with City of Swan.
Yes.
So why would that not be the case for the City of Bayswater and Walter Road being our neighbouring council?
Certainly, I think when we start looking at the design, it would be worthwhile having that discussion with them.
But I just want to make clear, because obviously if we're expending this money, we don't need their approval to undertake the works. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Yep. Okay.
So when this came to council previously, the decision was made to consider allocating funding for that project in this year's budget. The transport consultants had flagged that as a potential project and had said that the carriage on that road wouldn't be affected by the plans that they were recommending. So it shouldn't have an impact on Bayswater, is my understanding. But
yeah, and just on that, we do have the integrated transport plan, the revised version, coming back to council. The updates from community feedback are being incorporated by ARIP at the moment, and a draft will be provided to council shortly. So any specific provisions that we'd like to see reflected in that can be done so. Just moving on. The Jubilee Reserve Master Plan was another project that was highlighted. And funding has been set aside for the design work to create a concept plan, and that's actually represented in the Open Space Development Framework Project. So rather than doing an Open Space Development Framework Project for the whole of the town, which is really something that should be part of our local planning strategy, we've suggested that the $60,000 that's set aside for that project be specifically used to create a master plan for Jubilee Reserve. The next one, in relation to Palmerston Square and Padbury Way. So this year the focus was primarily around community engagement for both of those reserves in terms of the opportunity to engage the community in terms of what they'd like to see in both of those reserves going forward. So this year that's a project that will be undertaken by the town in conjunction with the community and identify the requirement for funding going into the next financial year. Just in terms of, there was a question regarding the community perception survey. So funding has been allocated to creating a new strategic community plan, $50,000, and there's an opportunity to use some of the funding from that particular project towards the community perception survey, which is really a prerequisite for the strategic community plan. If we find that further funding is required to create the strategic community plan, we will bring that back to council in any event to map out what that process looks like and the funding implications as well. And again, that can be picked up at the mid-year review process if further funding is required. The other question was in relation to the waste strategy. Now, some preliminary work has been undertaken already on creating a strategy. The state government has recently retitled that to a waste action plan, and we have a new waste and recycling coordinator commencing on the 30th of September. The town has already undertaken some draft work on the waste strategy, and that will be further progressed at our future concept workshop with council.
Thank you. And Paul, you had a couple of things to add as well, I believe.
Thank you. Yes, I just thought I'd clarify a couple of changes, given that we've circulated some fresh budget papers to you today, just to outline a couple of the minor changes that have occurred since the last set of completed papers that you were provided with. There are some, we've replaced notes 2 and 3 to the financial statements. They appear immediately after the rate setting information. We've replaced the tables in relation to those two notes to reflect the recent changes to reserve allocations and also some calculations arising from further processing of credit card expenditure from FY19, which have changed the inventory figures. There's another change in relation to the fees and charges due to a matter that was brought to our attention on page 14, waste charges. The last two items at the very bottom of the page were in the wrong place and they've been reversed, which means that the 360 litre proposed bin on the photo is now $300. And I should also mention that it is planned to publish the schedules of operational projects and consultancies, as well as capital expenditure items, once they are finalised with the finalised budget.
Sorry, can you just clarify that last point again?
I just wanted to mention that it is proposed to include the schedules of capital expenditure and operational projects and consultancies in the published budget once it's finalised, once those projects and consultancies and capital expenditure items have been determined by council.
Thank you. And there's just one other error that needed to be corrected on page 12 of the agenda. So there's two dot points there. The first one's related to the gross rental value of vacant residential land, and it says 0.8. I don't think anyone would like getting that in there. Wait, so it's actually supposed to be 0.08. So. Okay, Councillor Hamilton.
Can I just go back to a point on page 14 regarding the waste charges? I was curious why that last line entry was even required, given that we've addressed the additional bins and the costs and what have you in the previous four lines. It just seems like that last line, additional bin, is irrelevant because the previous four lines address all the different size bins and their charges.
Yes, they do. I guess the previous four lines are specifically marked for
photo. And you're thinking, okay, fine, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Wilson?
Yes, so just in relation to the second last line on page 14 there, additional bin supply of 360 litre bin for either a red, green or yellow top. Would that be... does it contemplate the possibility that somebody might swap out a 140 litre bin for a 360 litre bin?
I've been privy to the pricing structure in that it's reasonable, obviously, given the greater capacity of that bin to charge a higher price. So we visit the photo proposal.
Can I just clarify? My understanding was that in anticipation of rolling out FOGO either first half of next year or on the 1st of July, that we'll be revisiting the fees specifically around FOGO at that stage?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Further questions? I just wanted to ask about... just let me find that.
Project 12, which refers to tree planting on roads and roundabouts, and at the moment we've allocated zero for it specifically. I just wanted to maybe feel your own respect to it. I think you've got a good understanding of where council's going. We're going to plant where we can, wherever possible, the medium strips and roundabouts, both for the purposes of canopy but also traffic calming. So with that having zero allocated to it at this point, can you just help me to understand where the staff are thinking that might fit into the works programme?
So whereabouts is that?
So it's Project 12.
It's on this loose sheet that came.
Yep.
It's halfway down on your right hand side on this loose sheet.
It's fine because we've allocated a significant amount of money for trees. I just wanted to make sure that there was a common understanding about what.
Yeah. Sorry, I did see it. There's an allocation of all up just over $1 million for trees.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be distributed, you know, throughout.
Yep.
But that is the understanding,
okay,
that
good.
We will be doing median, we'll
yep.
be doing the roundabout, we'll be doing and bulk plantings in verges.
Fantastic.
And that plan is being developed by Steve at the moment, and that'll be coming to council we'll be proposing it to council for their assessment.
Fantastic, thank you very much.
We've also talked about just supplementing the plan with a bit of a bus tour around the town with councillors to, I guess, have a look at those areas that are most in need of tree planting.
Yeah.
Just to get concurrence.
On that page at the top, we have, of course, we actually have several documents. The $100,000, which is for emergency repairs for replacement of assets. And I know that a couple of the councillors, we spoke last time about potentially any residue funds left over to go into a reserve. May I ask if it's potentially agreeable to people around the table if any residue funds... Like, you'll know fairly quickly whether you're going to use some of that asset, that $100,000. Perhaps that could be used for some of these roundabouts, the amendments and the things that we have to do to these roundabouts to actually plant trees. That's a question for you. And obviously other councillors around the table. I don't know. It just seems to me that if we have that $100,000 there and we're getting to a stage towards the end of the financial year where it's substantially still intact or half of it's still there, that it could be used for these roundabouts.
Sticky Paul not letting you. there is significant funds within the tree planting budget.
Okay, that's fine.
And there will be significant funds to plant within roundabout. Well,
and I guess at the mid-year review we will get to see some of where we're at with some of these anyway.
Yeah, we need to present, I think, to council and for council to make a decision on where we should put significant planting within roundabouts.
Yep, that's fine.
Any other questions?
There's a recommendation in this sheet from our financial director regarding the waste charge on page 14, and because we flagged that it was a 7% increase to residents going up to from 365 to 390, and we have here a recommendation from the administration that we could potentially reduce that down to 380, which is a 4% rise. I would support that, but it depends what sequence the mayor would like to actually run all this.
Could I just ask you what impact that would have at this stage?
I think the following the last council workshop, some research was done in relation to determining the initial figure of $380, and there did seem to have been a calculations that support the need to go as high as that. So in my circulation to councillors last Friday, I suggested the council may wish to consider a slightly lower fee, which would still represent a 4% increase on what we proposed from last year.
Am I correct in thinking it would make about a $15,000 difference to the budget if there's 7,000 households? Or wrong? Right? I can't remember now. I've calculated so many things.
The service fee covers two bins under our current system.
Yeah, I know that, but yeah. Coming back from, pegging it back from 390 down to 380 per household.
Yes. That'd be about $10 per household.
Yes, so it's not a significant amount of money to the budget. Okay.
About 7,000.
Okay. Just put that hold just for a moment. Do people have questions about anything else at this stage? Because what we might do is once we have a mover for the budget, we might then consider proposed amendments and see if they're supported by.
I do have another one as well.
Do you have a question? Or?
A question that might impact whether I move an amendment or not. Traditionally we've made public the line-by-line breakdowns of anticipated costs for particular projects, but have not done so this year as a way of protecting, I guess, that information from the market. But if the budget is passed as is, would any of the information that's describing the particular projects be made public, or is it necessary to put an amendment to say that a description of the projects that would be funded is made available, but not necessarily the amount of money that we might be prepared to accept a tender on?
Thank you. I think we would propose to table with the finalised budget a list of operational projects and consultancies with the descriptions that are currently before you, including the amounts of money, perhaps just not the additional information about how it's going to be during the various workshops, and the same for the capital expenditure items.
If we were to do that, though, then we would be telegraphing to the market the upper level of our tender, and coincidentally, most of the tenders come in very close to what we've told the market we're prepared to spend. So I'm comfortable with the idea of keeping that information commercial in confidence. However, I do think for the sake of transparency, it might be good to describe what it is that the budget is paying for. So maybe an amendment is needed.
Okay. Any further questions?
I had the fees and charges. The only other item that I was looking at was car parking for Australia Day. The fee is $10 at the moment, has been $10 for a fair substantial amount of time. And I was looking at increasing that to $20 or $15, depending on the attitude of fellow councillors.
Okay, so let's
that is on
that
page 5.
Now, this is something. Councillor Wilson's conversation about publishing the dollar values associated with various projects.
And it is that, I guess, tension between, that commercial in confidence and revealing to the marketplace how much we've got sort of itemised against certain budget line items. But it has been the town's practice to date, and yes. I'm not sure whether this is something that is of concern to council.
but it is a fairly common practice across other agencies at a state and local level. But if that is something that this council would like us to withhold.
Thank you for the advice.
Okay, any further questions? All right, well, in that case, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation?
I think we're going to see if there's amendments
first.
We're
doing amendments first. We don't have a mover for the motion.
I know, but if the amendments get up, they become part of the substantive motion, and then you move the budget with any amendments that have been made.
We can do it that way if you want.
Well, otherwise you're moving a budget as is in the papers now before you know if there's any
before
amendments.
We change anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to move your amendment?
Shall we just do them one at a time?
I'm asking you, Councillor
Hodgson. Okay. Well, let's do the first one in the fees and charges, which is page 5, Australia Day parking fee, currently $10, was $10 last year, recommended in the budget document to remain at 10. I'm proposing that it increase to 20.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton is moving an amendment and to increase the Australia Day parking fee to $20 from 10. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Quinton? Oh. Is there anybody against? Councillor Gangell?
Obviously, we have examined our events, particularly Australia Day, which is growing bigger every year. One of the biggest issues with the Australia Day event is the amount of money spent on parking and parking management. We are also a council that has engaged in various forms of community consultation with the state government regarding other alternative forms of moving people around other than cars. So I think it's appropriate that we try and motivate people to catch public transport to this event. Certainly $10 per car is very, very cheap in the scheme of things compared to other events around the metropolitan area. $20 is not a great expense for a car full of people that are coming to an event, particularly given that it provides very convenient parking within an extremely close proximity to the Ashfield Reserve. So I believe that people who are prepared to drive will be prepared to pay that. But I also think it may have the benefit of encouraging people to either walk, bike, or catch public transport. And that's the gist of why I'm putting this forward.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Quinton, do you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I echo Councillor Hamilton's sentiments for this motion. Again, I would say if you put the price of parking up, it does encourage people to walk more. It does encourage people to take public transport more. We are a victim of our own success with this event. We have every year increased the amount of people that come to this event. The more cars we have, the more pollution that we're encouraging. $20, I don't think, is an expensive night out for a family, particularly given it's free, and particularly given 75% of people that come to this event are not ratepayers of this town. So absolutely they can pay when they come and park here. I think for this kind of event, we do need to start looking at where we're parking our cars. So I absolutely endorse this motion, and I encourage other councillors to really consider their vote on this, because this is something that could drastically reduce the amount of cars that come to this event and also encourage people to take public transport. There's an opportunity for us to work with the Public Transport Authority to have free public transport come to this event. It is an event that is well celebrated by most of the East Metro region, and $20 is not an expensive cost.
Councillor Gangell?
Thank you, Your Worship. I have to say, I just love hypocrisy. Absolute hypocrisy. We had a briefing the other month on the Whitfield Safe Street. Whitfield Safe Street to get people out of cars, to get people walking, get people riding. Well, what was the first issue of concern that was raised? The first issue that came up was, in fact, the reduction in car parking. car parking on the street. We need more car parking in our Whitfield safe street. But here it's extortion. Slide the law. Now, there is, in my regard, there is concern. Now, I choose to walk to the Australia Day event. That's my choice. But there's concerns that I have for the volunteers who actually take the money from people parking at the event. They get a large amount of abuse. You think there's congestion now at the event. Wait till you try to charge double the charge to $20, and then you see people telling the volunteers that they're not interested. That's the polite way they'd say it, and then go and clog up our residential streets, trying to find a parking any which way they can, on a verge, on a street corner, wherever they can pay, so wherever they can park so they can avoid paying the $20. So I don't think this is a sound idea. The state government ordinarily has free public transport on Australia Day for the Australia Day Sky Show in Perth. So there is free public transport already accessible generally each year that the state government provides via the train. So certainly just in relation to our volunteers that we get as the community group, I don't think it's fair for us to lumber the additional abuse that they will receive. And believe you me, they will receive additional abuse if you try to charge people $20 to park. Thank you very much.
Okay, Councillor Wilson, anybody else
wish
to speak? No?
Councillor
Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, people should walk more. That's great if you've got good legs. However, some people are not very ambulatory, and some people have mobility issues. Some people have cars with ACROD stickers on them. And they're the people that would be disproportionately affected the most by this proposed fee increase. Some people have families with young children, more than one or two, prams and all sorts of other things that necessitate them to use a car rather than to walk. And their needs and their concerns are foremost in my mind about this proposed doubling of the fee increase, and that's the reason why I'll be voting against it.
Thank you.
Councillor Hamilton? Okay. Firstly, we have 6 months before the event, so I think that's adequate time to advertise any potential increase in parking and to keep the public well informed. And I think, you know, that would obviously short circuit any potential abuse that Councillor Gangell is flagging. In respect to Councillor Wilson's comment about Accord parking, I do believe that our volunteers, if it was the determination of this council, I'd be quite happy for those cars to be exempt and just pay the $10. So, you know, there are certainly compromises that can be made. But I do believe, as Councillor Clinton has said, that a very significant portion of these people coming into the town with cars are not our ratepayers. Our first duty as councillors is to our ratepayers. It is to our ratepayers who have financially paid for this event year in and year out. It's a very successful event, and I don't think it's too much to ask to claim back a little bit of that money that we pay out every year for transport management in respect to vehicles that come into the town from outside. Now, not all vehicles come from outside. I can't tell you number plate recognition. I haven't really got that down pat yet. But I do believe that there is an ability here to actually manage this event far more efficiently than what we've done in the past. It is a growing event, and I think we need to look at ways in which we can make it more efficient. And this is one way of reducing the traffic and encouraging people to take other modes of transport. If Councillor Wilson would like ACROD cars to be exempt, I'm more than willing to accept that as an amendment.
What are you doing?
I'm proposing an amendment, or seeking leave to put an amendment to the mover of the motion. If Councillor Hamilton is so minded, I would like to move that people with ACROD stickers on their cars and people with pram stickers on the cars, the types that are used at shopping centres to access designated pram parking bays, be charged a fee of $5 and the otherwise $20 fee increase to apply.
Okay, so just to be clear, you're proposing that the Australia Day general parking fee be increased to $20, however, a discount to $5 for those with ACROD stickers and
pram stickers.
Yes, the pram sticker that.
Not everyone has a pram sticker.
Okay, Councillor Hamilton.
Incentive to get one.
A pram.
Councillor Hamilton, do you accept this amendment?
Yes.
Councillor Quinton?
Sure.
Okay. All right, is everyone clear?
Yes, vote.
Pardon? No, it's an absolute majority. You need 4 people.
Oh, do you? Oh.
Yes. Okay, so we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Councillor Wilson, Hamilton and Quinton against. Councillor McLennan, Gangell and Rippenchuk. That is not carried. Now, councillors, I am going to just take us back. We do need a mover for this motion, so I will move the budget motion. I need a seconder.
Sorry, I haven't...
No, hold on. We're just doing this the proper way. Does anyone want to second the budget motion? And then we can do amendments, which is the proper way to proceed. Councillor Wilson, thank you. Now, what is your amendment?
The essence of it is to make sure that the project description information and the subtotal information be made publicly available, but that the individual line item information in both confidential attachments be not made publicly available. So it would have the effect of saying for projects 1 to 22, for example, here's the total for those 22 projects, and this is what those 22 projects are, but not making publicly available what the individual line item costs.
Okay, Amy, have you got that?
So we're listing the projects, but not including their individual financial.
Or that we would make publicly available the list of projects and the subtotal information, but not the line item costings for each project.
Okay, so is everyone clear on the proposal? Okay, is there a second of the amendment? Councillor Hamilton? Is there anybody against? Councillor Gangell? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. This is something that I've discussed a number of times over the past year. I have a concern when I look at tenders that come in for individual projects that the amount of money that people tender for is always very, very close to the amount of money we forecast to the market that we're prepared to pay. I think the effect of us forecasting to the market that we are prepared to pay hypothetically $30,000 for a minor repair out of an abundance of caution that we will have enough money to get the job done has the result of increasing the cost that we pay for it. I think that if the market doesn't know what we're prepared to pay for an item, we are much more likely to get a realistic quote that doesn't include any padding in it, and it will have the effect of ensuring that we get value for money. Now, what that needs to be weighed against, I guess, is transparency and accountability to the public. I think the amendment that I've moved strikes that balance because it explains what a pool of money has been allocated to pay for. So the community would know, for example, that for this group of 12 projects, we're prepared to put aside X amount of money. But then it protects, I guess, the commercial in confidence of what we might be prepared to accept when it went to open tender. I think the community would understand our desire to try and ensure that we do get value for money out of tendering processes, and would understand that this is a good balance between being transparent and accountable and also being frugal and good stewards of the rates that we take off our neighbours with this budget.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
I waive my right because Councillor Wilson has adequately explained.
Thank you. Councillor
Gangell? Thank you, Your Worship. I understand where Councillor Wilson is certainly coming from. I'm not overly against the
concept of what's being proposed, but at the end of the day, it is public money. The ratepayers of the town are entitled to know what line item expenditure we have allocated for projects. It's common practice within certainly within the local government sector field that that line items be allowed for public viewing. Quite often, I have to say, I've been around the council table for 14 years, and I have to say there has been more than a number of conversations each budget year that comes in with criticisms to the staff about overestimation of expenditure. When you have surpluses, and how does this happen? We've overestimated the amount that we anticipated a project to cost, and therefore there's been leftover expenditure, and therefore discussions about maybe reducing the amount of estimation that that each project had. So certainly in my scenario over 14 years, there has been more than a number of cases come budget review time, come budget start time, when you start with a surplus due to budgets being overestimated, that there's criticism about the under expenditure that has occurred and the estimation cost. So certainly it's not in my recollection that that largely that projects come in just on. There are also the opposite that occurs. There's of course ones that that aren't adequately funded, and when we go out to tender we realise we actually didn't allocate enough funds. So I think it's a bit of give and take overall, but I'm certainly content with how the process currently is, and I just don't think there's any anecdotal evidence that that this is actually occurring, but certainly understand the concept and not opposed to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gadgil. Any other speakers?
Yes. Thank you. I'm not sure if Councillor Gadgil realises, but I think he's just proving Councillor Wilson's point in that when we list something and we've overestimated the cost of that, that tenderers will go as close as possible to that overestimated amount that we put in the line item budget. That is the concern. So I do agree with this. There are already a raft of line items in here that have already been made public that obviously can probably stay and remain, and I think that's a discussion we can have. But in terms of things that need to go out for contract, when a contractor can look at the line item budget and we have overestimated the cost, they will do it as close as they can. And we are not getting value surplus for money for our community. Okay. That is our greatest concern. So I do think that we should consider this. And I do think that this is something that that the community will understand, because in the long run, we will get value for money.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sassy, I just wanted to speak to a point that Councillor Wilson made. And it's just the operational implications of your proposal, and I'm not suggesting it's a bad thing, but I guess the thinking behind your proposal is that when we go to market in a procurement exercise, that we would not ever include a monetary threshold on the work that we might be seeking or the service that we might be seeking. And I guess an analogy might be when we're building a home and we go to a builder, do we want to build a $100,000 home or $1 million home? So by capping the requirement, we actually allow the supplier to consider the quantum of work required. Is it the sort of the whole model or the Rolls-Royce model? And that would be the only implication from an operational perspective.
Mm.
Anything, your response?
Exercise my right for a point.
Yeah, was there anybody else who wanted to speak? No, you're welcome to speak.
Thank you, Worship. And thank you also to the CEO for raising a point that I hadn't fully thought through. I guess from a council perspective, the concern that you raise could be adequately covered by having enough specificity in the tender itself that the specifications and the quality of build and the type of finished product clearly articulated to the market such that there's no ambiguity about whether we want to hold on to the Rolls Royce. And I suspect, though I do not know, I suspect that a lot of that detail has been intuited by the price that we've foreshadowed rather than in the actual tender documents themselves. I appreciate that that might create more work, but it might also end up in better results too, or better outcomes at least for the ratepayers whose money we're spending. Councillor Gangell is right that it is common practice, and it is also common practice across state government and Commonwealth government, but I think everybody knows that if you were to get a house built and the state government was also to get that same house built, the state government would be paying considerably more for it just because of the nature of the tendering process. And that is the sort of common practice that I'm seeking to undo here. There have been particular projects that have made my eyes water when I've gone back and looked at the work that council has paid for, how much that cost, and compared that in my mind to what it would cost to get a local subcontractor to come in and do it, and sometimes they're an order of magnitude difference. So yes, there's a tension between accountability and I guess seeking value for money, and yes, there are common practices that would be overturned by this, but I think in balance it would be for the best.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Wilson. So let's put that to the vote. All those in favour? Councillor Wilson, Hamilton, Quinton and McLennan, and against is Councillor Gangell and Mikichuk, and that is carried. Are there any other amendments? Councillor Hamilton?
Okay, on fees and charges, page 14, the standard waste service charge, I'd like to go to the suggestion made by the Director of Finance regarding the standard waste charge. Instead of a 7% increase, taking it from 365 to 390, I'd like to see it go to 380.
Can I just ask a further question on that? So you mentioned that there's been some work done to have a look whether calculations have been undertaken to substantiate the proposed increase. And you mentioned that that covers the cost of the two bins. So has there been a conversation with our waste provider to make sure that what is proposed is going to cover our costs adequately?
That level of analysis has not been done as part of the fees. Proposing the fees and charges for waste for this particular budget, we certainly anticipate that that level of analysis will occur in preparation for the budget for next year.
Okay. Is it possible that Mr. Carty, who's here at the town, had some conversations that we're not aware of that led him to propose this increase?
That is certainly possible, yes.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
Can I ask a question? is it possible that Mr. Carty formulated that proposed increase on the basis that we were originally going to introduce FOGO in the coming months?
I don't know.
Okay. So I think that's the reason I'm proposing this change, because I believe that this figure may have been created when FOGO was supposed to be implemented from November onwards. And if we are delaying the implementation of FOGO until either the first or second half of next year, then I believe that we have the capacity. So that's why I'm proposing this amendment to reduce the waste charge. I do think that 7% increase is quite a hike for our ratepayers, given that FOGO will not be implemented until possibly mid-year.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got a proposed amendment to reduce the waste service charge to 380 from the current 390. Is there a seconder? Councillor Wilson? Is there anybody against? Got all those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Any further amendments? No?
What?
Yes, the allocation of money that we've set aside for emergency repairs. there was some discussion about creating a reserve in which that money could go. Has that been incorporated into the documents, or is an amendment necessary for that?
No, it hasn't, Councillor Wilson. There wasn't any change made to the documents. My understanding from the most recent discussion was that there was some recognition that money would need to be used throughout the year, and perhaps if there were funds remaining at the end of the year, that could be allocated to it. There hadn't been changes incorporated into those budget papers.
Thank you. And I recall that there's an operational difficulty. If the money is initially in a reserve, then it requires a different decision-making process to access those funds. Is that the logic by putting the residue into a reserve?
That is true. I think the logic is if there's some sort of need to address an emergency situation that arises now or very soon, then sort of immediate access to those funds might be necessary.
But potentially at the end of the year, if there was some of those funds hadn't been used, we could then choose to put it into a reserve at that point in time.
Yes, that's right.
So we don't need to do anything at this stage to give some direction for that? Or we could, as Councillor Wilson's suggesting, have an official council position that if there are surplus funds that have been allocated for emergency repairs at the end of the financial year, that we put into a reserve for the purposes of future emergency.
Yes. So that was certainly formalised council position, and the administration will then act on that, should that come to be the case.
So are you proposing to move that amendment?
I am, Your Worship. I'm proposing to move that way. I'm happy to provide additional words for the minute clerk if required.
I just lost my mind.
Councillor Chin, you are seconding that answer.
I'm just going to ask the move.
Is that Councillor Gadget?
No, sorry, I'm seeking clarification exactly what we're doing.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so what
I'm... Hold on, let's just see what Amy's got first. Amy?
I have that any surplus funds that have been allocated for emergency repairs be placed in reserve. Is that what you said?
At the end of the financial year.
Yeah.
Yes, and that a specific reserve be created for that purpose.
Does that clarify for you, Councillor Gendro?
No, I think I'm going to have to talk through to me. I just don't.
Can I ask the officer a question?
Yes, of course.
Okay. If a specific... Is there costs associated with creating lots of different reserves accounts, or is it an onerous cost or not? I would doubt it, but I'm just asking.
Thank you. No, it's minimal administration.
Okay,
fine.
Councillor Gadget, you're still not clear
on
what's been proposed?
Yes, I just wanted to explain if I could. Thank you. Yes.
If there's a second for my motion.
Yes, sir, I think Councillor Hamilton, did you second the motion?
Yes.
Yes.
For the benefit of Councillor Gangel and those playing at home, what I'm proposing is that the money that we've set aside in this year's budget for emergency repairs, so in the situation we found ourselves in at the mid-year review when the boat ramp got washed out and we didn't have any specified funds to get it repaired for some time, that money could be used to, say, repair the boat ramp. But if at the end of the year there is still unspent funds out of what we're setting aside for emergency repairs, those unspent funds would go into a reserve for emergency repairs in the future, rather than being reallocated or redistributed in the normal course of events.
I've got a question. So in the future, there wouldn't be a line item for emergency repairs. It would be a different fund, a reserve fund that we set up.
In future, the council that exists after the coming elections can decide to do whatever it wants to do with budgets, but it would have the unspent funds from this year still remaining for that specific purpose if it needed to be drawn down in future. And I guess the reason why I propose to do that is that we may spend some of it, or we may spend all of it, but it might be the case that the amount of money we're setting aside for emergency reserves in this budget could last for 3 years, possible, depending on the circumstances.
Okay, thank you. So we've got a mover and a seconder. Councillor Gangel, are you clear on the proposal?
Thank you.
Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Any further amendments?
not an amendment, just a question.
Yep.
I notice that the staff room and office development at the Wind in the Willows is now zero.
What's she
I don't ever remember having a conversation about us removing that from the budget.
I think it's got a different...
Sarah, what sheet is it?
This is the...
Oh, the single sheet.
Coming out of reserves. It is now zero.
This one, it says it's removed because it was doubled up, so probably the document that was set through today.
Right. So it's still in the budget somewhere?
Well,
we're looking.
AB 1905 is for Ashfield and AB 1906 is for the Basswater location.
Yes.
Sorry, what were those numbers, John?
AB 1905 and AB 1906.
$35 allocated there and then zero on the duplicate one.
Yes, but they're different centres, right?
One says Ashfield, one says Bassendean. But are they both having their office and staff room upgraded? I think it's only one.
I recall it from one.
Just Ashfield. Okay, because Bassendean already had theirs.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Is that clear enough? Yes, just Ashfield?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, any more questions? Any more amendments? Okay, so I've previously moved the budget. Council wasn't a seconder. Is there anybody against?
Oh, I just wanted to comment.
I know you would like to comment. Would you like to make a comment now, Councillor?
Yes, yes, thank you. Just very quickly, just to save debate, councillors, I fully intend to support and vote for the motion, and thank staff, especially Paul, for considerable work you've done in very trying circumstances to bring it together. But I just wanted to just reiterate my uncomfortableness in relation to the differential ratings which we've imposed. Just in relation to the process that was undertaken. But having said that, I will be supporting the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Moved it and seconded. Is there anybody against? Okay, so let's put that to the vote. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Dean has written me a lovely, some points to speak to, but I don't feel we need to at this point in time. Item 4.3, which was the grants and sponsorship policy, we're not going to deal with in tonight's meeting. That will go to the briefing session and be on the agenda of next week's council meeting. So in that case, that's all the business for this evening. But I would also just like to take the opportunity to thank all the staff, but particularly Paul and Yasmin, for their efforts over the last few months, coming in right at the critical stage of a budget. So you've done a fabulous job. I really appreciate your efforts. Thank you very much, everybody. The meeting is closed at 7 p.m.